It's good to be with you this morning. Good to have a nice full crowd, some people who are sick back with us, and missed you very much, and grateful to be together this morning to focus on that which is most important. That's a blessing of the weekly gatherings that we are blessed to have and which the Lord laid down for us in Scripture, is that we need reminding, and we get it if we are here to be stirred up to love and good works, which is part of our theme for this year, which has been drawing nearer, which is drawing nearer to a close, if you know what I mean. Yeah, that was really bad. That's probably about the best I've got here this morning. So, yeah. But anyway, our theme is getting close to the end, because we're getting close to the end of this year. And I do want to talk this morning with you about a lesson related to that theme. The fourth quarter, we've been trying to focus on drawing others nearer to God. That's kind of been specifically our focus this quarter. But in general this year, we've been talking about drawing nearer to God ourselves, drawing nearer to the Word of God, and drawing nearer to each other as well, as fellow workers in God's kingdom. And that's sort of what I talked about in the last theme lesson that I did. Even though we're talking about drawing others nearer to God, we talked about being partners in the gospel. And so kind of tying together both the idea of drawing nearer to each other and also drawing others nearer to God, that drawing others nearer to God is not an isolated work, but rather it is a work that we do together, that we are joined in as partners in the gospel. We looked at how there are multiple dimensions to our partnership in the gospel. There is the dimension of our finances, our time. There is a spiritual and transformational dimension to our partnership in the gospel, but ultimately how Christ is at the center. Christ is who binds us all together. Otherwise, we would probably not even hardly know each other. We certainly wouldn't have the bond that we have. But because of Christ, we have that bond. Not only do we have a bond, but we have a mission. We have a mission to bring others to Jesus and help them to know him as well, just as we have been blessed by knowing him ourselves. And we get to do that together. So that's what we talked about last time. But today, I want to talk about evangelism. And I want to be honest. I have been dreading this quarter to talk about evangelism, because I feel so inadequate when it comes to evangelism. I struggle with that. I don't know about you, but evangelism's hard. And anytime the preacher says, I'm going to preach on evangelism, I always kind of feel a little bit cringy, a little bit awkward. Not because it's a bad thing to talk about, or not because the lesson wasn't great, but because I felt like I hadn't really done enough. And maybe you can relate to that, maybe you can't. But that's why I was dreading this fourth quarter, because I'm thinking, who am I to tell them how to do evangelism when I struggle to do this myself? Although, funny enough, I think scripturally that probably makes me the ideal person to talk about it, because all of us are imperfect and all of us are just vessels trying to be used for God's glory. So hopefully that comes through this morning in this lesson. But maybe some of you also have a twinge of guilt when you hear a lesson about evangelism announced. You think, man, I just haven't done enough. I haven't successfully converted an atheist. I haven't been able to bring someone out of a denomination. I'm just not really good at that, or at least I haven't done what I should. And some of that is legitimate. I know that I could be doing more, and I should be doing more, to work on building relationships and even starting some conversations with people over whom I might have some influence, even spiritually. I know that I could do more, and I want to do more. I want to excel still more and press on and continue trying to be a better worker for Christ. And so that's legitimate, I think. But I also think that in some of the guilt that we sometimes feel, we might be a little mistaken to feel that way. If we're feeling that guilt because we're not one of these people who has thousands of baptisms credited to our name. We're not one of these people going out on the streets and baptizing someone every other week and just bringing all these masses of people to the Lord. Again, I'm not trying to discredit the importance of evangelism at all. But I think you'll figure out as we go through our text and our lesson this morning, specifically why I say that this morning. Why I say that guilt might be misplaced in some cases. So for now, let me just leave that there and invite you to Psalm 78. Psalm 78 will be our text for this morning. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 78. And maybe you've already got an idea of where I'm going with this by the title slide, but if not, this text may give you an even better idea. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn. And arise and tell them to their children so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Why did I pick this passage for my big evangelism sermon to wrap up this theme? Well, because I would argue that the most important evangelism we will ever do is within the boundaries of our own home. The most important evangelism we will do is in our own families. Now, disclaimer, this sermon is not going to apply equally to everyone. You may not be able to apply every bit of this to your own family for various reasons that are beyond your control. And that's okay. But I would challenge us all to, instead of thinking, well, this doesn't apply to me, this doesn't apply, and spending this morning thinking about how this doesn't apply to me, to think about ways, how can this apply to me? Okay, I don't have a family, but how can this apply to me? And challenge ourselves to do what we can. I hope that will be your mindset this morning as you go through this lesson. Even if you don't have a family, if there's a difficult situation in your family, do what you can. I hope that will be the mantra you can take with you through this lesson. And so even if you don't have a family, even if your family is grown, even if your spouse isn't a Christian, even if you don't have kids, no matter what of that may be true of you, you do have a spiritual family here. Don't forget that. And we've just read in our Wednesday night class about father and son relationships in the church between Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus. And so clearly that is a very real part of the family of God. So again, let's just please not spend this morning thinking about all the ways we can't apply this, but look for ways that we can, no matter what your situation is this morning. Okay, disclaimer concluded. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Back to the sermon. Point number one, the most important evangelism we will do within our is within our own families. That's the point. Notice in Psalm 78, he commanded our fathers. This is verse 5. He commanded our fathers to teach to their children. This is a command. Certainly God does give commands to people to do general evangelism. You see that in Scripture. To go teach in the world, whether it's the prophets in the Old Testament, he sends them to whole nations, or the apostles in the New Testament, and he speaks highly of those who do proclaim his word. So we see that in like Matthew 28 with the Great Commission, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. That was to the apostles, and that's certainly a commission of Jesus to go and evangelize. Isaiah 52:7, blessed upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, right? So we're speaking highly of those who proclaim the gospel. And then Romans 10 and verse 17 shows us, you know, we need someone to preach the gospel. Someone needs to be telling people about the gospel. And so there's undoubtedly application for us, even in those commands which are specifically given to people besides us. And so let me be clear, I'm not trying at all to say that we have no obligation to be evangelistic, no obligation to be winsome in the world at large. But I want to say this, and I want to make it as clear as I can. When we compare God's commands to evangelize the world to his commands to teach our children, the latter are more frequent, they are more consistent, and they are more widespread and broader in their audience. And that's not to say that these commands to evangelize in general are not important, but it is to say there is more emphasis and specific emphasis in Scripture to us on teaching our children. And I think we see from Scripture that that is a consistent expectation God has of all his people. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be anything in particular. All God's people are expected to do this. And so we see this in the Old Testament, of course. Psalm 78 is a prime example where this is important. Make sure you recount this. And in fact, Psalm 78 is pretty long. If you want to flip through your Bible, you can tell that's 72 verses. That's a really long psalm. Why is it so long? Well, because they're recounting the story of Israel, all God has done. And of course, as you read, you'll find it's a long story, not because it had to be, but because they failed. Because it's a messy story, because Israel was imperfect, and they failed all the time. They were not so great. It would have been really short if it was just God promised this, they accepted his promises and were faithful to him, and they lived happily ever after. Would have been like a 5-verse psalm. But unfortunately, that was not the case. And so we have a very long psalm of how they failed God and how God was still merciful to them, and they failed him again, and he was still merciful. And so that's what they're telling. This is Psalm 78 gives us the impression we need to be telling our children these kinds of things. But not only Psalm 78, but also passages that you're probably familiar with, like Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Probably know that. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And here's where it gets a little different. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So clearly, all over the Old Testament, even in such an important passage as the Shema, where we're told, here's the big thing you got to do. You got to love God. And then what do? You have to teach your children to do the same. This is really important to God. Same thing in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, probably heard this one before. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now that includes instructing them in a way that pleases the Lord, but it also includes instructing them about the Lord. Okay, both are included there. And these commands are not just given to apostles to go and make disciples of all the nations. They're not just given to prophets to go to the house of Judah or go to one particular nation. They're given to fathers in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And so what's the point? So many times we get our priorities out of whack, get everything mixed up. We feel this massive burden to go out and convert the masses, but all the while we ignore the souls that walk around the rooms of our houses every single day. And that is not to say ignore the people who are lost in the world, but it is to say don't ignore especially the souls that are in your home. So let me be even more clear about that. When it comes to evangelism, if all we did was raise our kids to know God and bring them to genuine discipleship in Christ, we would be ahead of the game. If that was all we did, we would be ahead of the game. Does that negate our need to teach the lost? No, not a bit. But it does help us realize where our priorities need to be. And it can also encourage us. I know many wonderful servants of God who've tried for years to convert their family and their friends and their neighbors, go into family in a second, and have been largely unsuccessful in that. But they've raised godly families who are strong members of the Lord's church. They have faithful children who are a blessing to God's people. We need to never, ever underestimate the importance of that work. Our kids are souls. And they are the souls for whom we are most accountable. The most important evangelism we will do is within our own families. A second thing I think we see here in Psalm 78 is that there are no excuses. Just because we ourselves have not been perfect does not diminish our need to teach our families. I think some of us have a tendency to hold back on this because, well, who am I to tell my kids how to serve God? I mean, I sure messed up big time. I have not been perfect. How am I going to tell them? They're just going to figure it out for themselves, and I'm just not good enough to do that. Well, that's not God's view. It's not. In God's view, the only thing you need to be qualified to teach your family the gospel is to be a parent. Specifically, he talks about being a father here. Notice verses 6 through 8 in Psalm 78. That the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And notice verse 8, that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. What is God saying here? He's actually saying he wants fathers to teach children not to be like their fathers. It's kind of like, can you do that? Apparently, that's exactly what God is commanding them to do. And sometimes, maybe a lot of the time, that's what we have to do too. And so it'd be easy for us to think, well, I failed to be what I need to be, and so I can't teach my children. No, that's exactly why you need to teach your children. To say, look, I failed, but God expects great things of you. And you need to be better than I was. You need to hold yourself to this standard of God's word. You don't have to be a perfect parent. You don't have to be a perfect father. You don't have to be a father who's a preacher. You don't have to have the whole Bible read or memorized or have scripture all figured out. If you are a father, if you are a parent, then in God's eyes, you are qualified and you are accountable to teach your family about Him. And that applies to mothers, it applies to grandmothers, it applies to grandfathers, it applies to uncles and to aunts, it applies to all kinds of family members as well, though it applies in a special way to fathers, which we'll talk about more in a moment. But Deuteronomy 6 especially, which we read earlier, talking about how this needs to be all over your house. It needs to be on your doorpost. It needs to be all over you. It needs to be everywhere. It reminds us that this is a whole household endeavor. And it can also be said that this is a whole household endeavor, not just in terms of our physical families, but the household of God as well. This is a whole household endeavor. And the point isn't for us to be perfect. We just have to let go of that. The point isn't for us to be perfect in order to teach our families about God, but rather for us to acknowledge we are imperfect, but yet to teach our families about God because He is perfect, and He's the one they need to know. So no excuses. We're all qualified for this mission in God's eyes. And so being qualified now, we need to make sure we tell our families of God's deeds and of God's law. Those are both part of what we need to teach our families. To not have both of these is an incomplete picture of God. And this is right here in Psalm 78. Notice verse 4. We will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation what? The glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. So there's the deeds, right? That's what we're telling the coming generation. But then what about in verse 5? He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children. They're right next to each other. And so we have to have both. When we only teach God's deeds and leave out God's law, the gospel just becomes an interesting story for them to know. They memorize these stories in Bible class. Okay, great. You know the stories. You know all the accounts of the Bible. Cool. But we lose the call to action. The gospel is a message to which we are called to respond. It's not just something to know academically or intellectually or to be familiar with the stories. It's something to act on. And so we can't leave out God's law by only teaching God's deeds. But on the flip side, when we only teach God's law and leave out God's deeds and what He has done, the gospel becomes a checklist. The gospel demands an obedient response, yes, but it demands that response because of the character of the God from whom it came. And so if we manage to tell them all God's commands, you need to do this, 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 and this because God said so, it's all in His word, that's important. But if we do that and we leave out God's love and God's mercy and God's grace with which He has acted in the past, we have failed. We haven't given them the whole gospel. If we manage to tell them all about God did in times past, about His love and how He was so patient with Israel and so patient even when Jesus was here and on the earth, but we leave out God's very specific commands and His very specific demands of His people, we have also failed. We need both. The beautiful thing is they're both in God's word. If we will just teach them the word, we will succeed. We gotta have both. A final point for you to think about this morning. Fathers have to lead. Dads have to be the spiritual leaders here. When the psalmist recalls God's instruction, notice this. He doesn't say, fathers, make sure that someone takes them down to the children's program at the synagogue once a week. He says he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children. And likewise, when Paul gives instruction on God's behalf, he also doesn't say, hey, make sure the kids get to Bible class a couple times a week so they can learn these stories. And oh, if you're really spiritual and you want extra credit, make sure they actually do their Bible lesson. Yeah, that's really good. No, that's not it at all. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is on you, fathers. You can't outsource this. You can't put this on the Bible class teacher. You can't put this on the schools, that's for sure. You can't put this on someone else. You can't outsource this. This is on you. And it seems that culturally, we have outsourced a whole lot when it comes to parenting. We've outsourced education. We've outsourced entertainment. We just set them in front of the iPad and say, yeah, entertain yourself for a little while. We've outsourced discipline in many cases to schools or whoever else is willing to, maybe even someone else in the supermarket. I mean, see kids just running on the loose. We try to outsource everything. But God is clear where the responsibility lies when it comes to drawing our families nearer to God and teaching them about Him. The responsibility is with us, fathers. And we have to lead. We have to be strong spiritual leaders and take ownership of this task that God has given us. So, fellow fathers, I'm challenging us all to rise to that challenge, to own this responsibility, to say, yeah, that is on me. I need to lead my family. Own this responsibility of leading our families in the learning of God's deeds and of God's law. So there's my 4 points. But now I'm preaching this sermon this morning. I'm well aware this is going to be a sensitive topic for many people. Undoubtedly, there are some of us here this morning who have great pain in our hearts because of family members, maybe even our children, who have walked away from the Lord. Maybe even despite the fact that we gave our best efforts. We gave everything we had to teach them. And maybe that's not you. Maybe your kids haven't walked away, but maybe you recognize that nonetheless, you feel like you haven't fulfilled this mission you have from God. No matter where you find yourself this morning, know that my goal is not to make you walk away just feeling nothing but guilt and regret about the past. Because the reality is, none of us can change the past. The past is the past. We can't do anything about it. Here's what I do hope to have accomplished this morning. I hope to have given us all our marching orders going forward. Yeah, we need to be spreading the gospel everywhere, absolutely. But we need to give special attention to our families. We can't change the past, but we can do all that is in our power going forward to make sure they know what we want for them most of all. And we can make sure that they know that God loves them and that God has expectations of them. And we can be clear that we offer this teaching not from a place of perfection ourselves, but just from a place of being blessed to know a perfect God who they need to know and always be close to as well. And fathers, we can be clear that we are trying to lead not because we want some authoritarian power for ourselves, but because that's what God wants from us. That's what will please Him. May we always have that attitude, and may we recommit ourselves this morning to doing all that's in our power. Whatever we can do, let's do, because the most important evangelism we will do is in our home. So let's all commit to drawing our families nearer to God in every way that we can. That's the lesson this morning. If you have a spiritual need, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.